Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 13 of Rugby Jubbly with me, Dan Skinner, and the wonderful Hal Cruttenton.
Hello, Hal. You're looking very well today. Have you been working out this week?
Yeah, a few hours on the bike. Yeah, a few hours on the bike this week. Maybe a change of eating. Maybe.
So you're a bit careful.
Just chiseling myself out a bit, Hal, after lockdown, where things started to fall south a bit, you know? They say in lockdown you either come out three ways, a hunk, a chunk, or a drunk. So you have to decide which one.
But I'm a chunk and a drunk, so that'll be two.
Well, you know.
Two out of three.
I've decided to swap things up.
I'd be thinking about
this. Because I was a bit of a chunk.
The reason I watched less rugby than I usually wanted to this weekend, because I usually watch so much rugby on the weekend, because it was my wedding anniversary yesterday. No, but and then my wife posted on Twitter a picture of us on our wedding day, and I went, oh, I'll retweet it, knowing that it just attracts the, oh my God, what happened? And all this stuff. You look like Tony Curtis. It's quite good for your career, though, the worse you look as you're doing Angelos. Do you know what I mean? You're not. Whereas my comedy is much more built on a kind of innate sex appeal. And, and I think that's what it's damages my career. It's so ironic.
Yeah, but
that
I'd
actually
like to say, I don't live as Angelos.
I'm pointing out the irony that you play a character that's physically quite unattractive, but are quite an attractive man, and I am trying to be. My best years were when I was more attractive on stage, and I'm looking worse. It's more just subtle flirting. Every week, Dan, there's a little bit of me telling you how good you look. Anyway, let's talk about the games this week.
Yeah, let's do it.
The Six Nations matches. Should we start? We are very Anglo-centric. We start with England, Italy.
What do you think?
I so crave being in the sort of fascinating minority viewpoint. I'm not that panicky. I'm beginning to defend Eddie Jones.
No.
I'm not panicky. No, but there's Stephen Jones wrote. I've just read it. Stephen Jones's article.
Yeah,
in Sunday
but I think
Times
they are paid to call, especially in papers like the Times. They are paid to cause controversy. Like Stuart Barnes, Stephen Jones. They're like you, Hal. They're looking for sensational headlines.
But the thing is the thing. Yeah, they're looking, but they all end up taking a fairly uniform position of, oh, he should have played more kids, he should have played more experienced players. I'm extra fascinating. I'm like a double turn, because I go into going back to defend him, which is what makes me such a unique rugby pundit, because I'm not taking the usual line of all the critics. I think this team needed confidence, and we also
agreed.
Also, these players that aren't in good form, who have been great servants for the country in the past, need to get the chance to get the game time. And also, if you're moaning about Sarri's players not getting game time, you shouldn't have fucking relegated us.
Daly looks rusty, and Farrell looked in danger of being like sent off. He was getting but you know how he gets, that sort of belligerent, and he was sort of starting to argue with the ref, and then he nearly got done for a shoulder charge push.
The guy just ran into him.
You could tell that he was getting like frustrated, and he dropped a couple, and he was just getting annoyed with himself. And he just needs.
He
to
got
cool,
some.
Cool.
I think, but they were dodgy passes. I think the players who were genuinely had dodgy games. The players who genuinely had dodgy games were Ben Youngs. I'll admit. Look, this is a player. Is Sarri's player. I'll admit. Elliot Daly looks very rusty, but was getting better as the game went on.
Yes.
But I also think there were other players.
He was at fault though a couple of times. Elliot Daly missed a couple of.
Oh, the tackle, yeah. But having said that, you know, when we were kids, well, when I was a kid, you go fullback, you've got to be a good tackler at fullback.
Yeah, but not kids. Do you still need to be? Kids. They're not kids. No. They're international rugby players. Right? And I think Elliot Daly's 30.
This is the problem. You know, this is the problem of my analysis when I go back to my playing days, that it is based on 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
No, but...
But it's hard, though, because... For this game, this England-Italy game, it's lose-lose. You know, if you win by a cricket score, people go, oh, it's Italy though, isn't it? And if you don't win by a cricket score, you go, well, you should have spanked Italy. So you can't. I mean, they looked much better. Carl Sinclair added loads to the direct running, taking the ball. He looked like he had been playing rugby, you know, like... Where a lot of those other guys, they did look. Billy Vinopola, he looked rusty. Certainly against Scotland, he looked unfit. Frankly,
yeah,
you know.
Well, I think I don't want to say there's a psychic connection between me and Billy, but both of our we seem to go through surges in weight at the same time. I've let myself go a bit. Billy's let himself go a bit, and he does. His weight goes up and down. I have a lot of understanding of him, but I still think good game. You know, he does do. He's not getting a lot wrong. He's not making quite the same yardage, but he's also very well marshalled. I don't know. I don't get the anti-Billy Vinopola thing.
I think when you make a point, when you make a position your own, and you know, you look unmovable in that position, and there doesn't, I mean, apart from Nathan Hughes, maybe there's nobody really to challenge him with the sort of thing that he does.
No.
Then people are just going to. I think it's boredom. You know, it's an easy target, and if you're not performing to a world class standard every week, then people are just going to have a go at you.
Yeah.
I know that from experience.
But I do think, we'll get onto this discussion later on about how important the Six Nations is. But even if this is a bad season in general for England, I just think it's a rustiness that if those passes start going to hand, they could become, I mean, they did attack quite well. They did make loads of terrible passes, drop passes and stuff. But that's just sort of rustiness, and we know
I agree.
It'll probably come back.
It's the longest thing to get right. The attack, your attacking lines and all the rest of it, especially nowadays when it's so complicated and there's two running lines.
And to tell the truth, they should have done well, because one thing the Italians are rubbish at. Is defence. I think you look at their first try, by the way, they had 5 minutes really. The very Italians leaky. Can play, but they need a defence coach. I've changed my mind on defence coaches. I don't mean defence coaches, they just need a man to run in and shout at them. They just need to be scared of their defence coach.
Because
get onto this later on with the France thing, but the whole Sean Edwards thing of he just scares them. But it's just there's an Anthony Watson try where he kind of the Italians can be rubbish in defence. They were against France.
What was great about England this week was the fact that all the back three scored, which is really good. Watson twice, May's super finish.
Yes.
What about that? That was like you, Hal.
Fantastic. It was so
diving
not like
in
me.
The corner. Crunching the corner flag. Schoolboy stuff, wasn't it?
I did once. I still remember one time where I just did a tap, you know, took a quick penalty as a scrum half, did a massive dummy. I still dream about it. I was about 12 at the time.
Yeah,
little tap penalty, massive dummy, and then just ran sort of directly to the corner and scored with everybody chasing me. And
I never matched that.
I was a bit of a specialist. Do you ever do that, of diving over and scoring and winding myself really badly?
And also the dive is never justified at that level. It's literally to look good. But I had one of those, like when I was playing for my old boys club, and I just left school. So I was like 18, 19, and everyone else is like 45. So you're the fittest bloke on the pitch, right? And somebody passed it to me. I was in the back line, and I ran through everybody. And at school, I'd never been that fast. I'd played second row. But now I had jets on my, yeah. and I just ran from I think hour 22 all the way down the pitch and scored under the post the other side. I was like, oh my God, I'm invincible. But no, you're just running against old men, so it's you know, a bit of a mismatch all over the field. But yeah,
getting back to the game, do you think that he should have chucked on kids from the start like Odogwu and Randall?
No, I don't. Mailers? Because no. I mean, after Scotland, I mean, the last thing you want to be doing experimenting against. I mean, I think it's a little bit of a shame for Odogwu, because if he's not going to get a game against Italy, you think, well, where is he going to play? Why has he been picked? You know, it's a bit the only and the real cynical side of you is to go, well, so Italy can't get him. And that's, you know, that's horrible for him if that is the case. And also, you know, you see Eddie Jones is like, Ollie Lawrence, not even on the bench this week. And you sort of, part of you thinks, will he ever play? He's only 21. Will he ever play for England again? It's happened so many times.
Exactly. You know, I think Ollie Lawrence should have been on the bench, I must admit. But I also think we can get
not
very
good
seduced.
For his confidence, is it?
You know, exactly. But we can get very seduced by youth. I was thinking about a moment in the game where Dan Robson, it was just before, it was the build up to Jack Willis's try. Dan Robson took a quick tap and go with the, you know, penalty and just ran through lots of people and nearly made it to the line. Dan Robson had come on for Ben Youngs. And then there was a big pile up and then a couple of phases and then Jack Willis scored. And if Harry Randall had done that, we'd have gone, put him in the Lions, keep him in the team, because it's the new boy. Because it was Dan Robson. People go, oh, yeah, he's a sparky little player. We tend to, a new player does
the difference
like that.
With Harry Randall is you might go, he may well have scored it.
Mm.
But we'll never know.
Hold on. I really think.
I know what you mean.
It's that attention. We love seeing new blood coming into rugby and coming into international rugby.
Because it's exciting to see what a new young player that's very, very good can do.
Yeah, but we also forget that old players can go out of form and come back into brilliant form. Sorry, this is becoming like a metaphor for comedy as well. A lot of older comics can still be brilliant in the same way that a lot of younger comics.
And yet they don't get booked.
Exactly. Yes, I just noticed that. I thought, God, we don't pay the same attention. So if Elliot Daly comes back and has a great game against Wales, people will go, oh, great game by Elliot Daly. But that if he was brand new, they'd go, this is the genius for the next generation.
Yeah, but the
Elliot
press
Daly
would,
be
but
amazing.
I don't think... But Eddie Jones is not like that, is he? He doesn't buy into any of that stuff. He can sort of, seemingly, he can sniff out an international player, and the ones he thinks are international players and they really have the pedigree, they get a good run at it. Yeah. I don't think you get long to prove yourself. I think you have to deliver, you know.
Yeah.
And if you don't do, I mean, the case of Ollie Lawrence is unfortunate because we didn't get any ball.
Exactly.
You know, the forwards didn't win any ball. And so what was he supposed to do?
No, he's got to be given a chance again to deliver. We're always playing teams that are totally up for it. Even Sam Warburton talked about Wales, England in a couple of weeks, that'll be the big game, when he was on BBC. And I thought, just shut, even Italy, because they've never beaten us, Italy, in the Six Nations. This is still a massive game for them. That's where they started so well. They were fired, Italy, for this game. And this is just another point I want to make, is trying to find countries that don't really, really want to beat us and make it like a highlight of their, even New Zealand, even though they usually will beat us, it's still extra nice to beat the English. I was thinking Canada.
I'm trying to picture now a Canadian saying, oh, yeah, always good to beat England.
Yeah.
No, and it just, you're right, it doesn't happen.
I'd like to see us play Canada or Poland. Just countries that go, Poland doesn't have a grudge against England. Poland, you know,
Why do they not have a grudge against England? How?
Because, well, we don't really, maybe it's because we've shown them a lot of love because of the wartime pilots, haven't we?
Also, I grew up in Ealing. That's exactly what I thought you'd say.
Yeah, I grew up in Ealing where
because
there were
the
loads
Germans
of Poles.
Marched into Poland, and it was when the Germans marched into Poland that we came into the war, right? And for that reason, the Danish don't have a grudge against us.
But all in all, I don't know. England, Italy, let's be honest, the most boring game of the weekend. Two other great games.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, though. I enjoyed watching it because it was one of those games, like when I watched Scotland, even though it's a, you know, it's a bigger build up and a more anticipation, actually watching the England Scotland game is really tense and uncomfortable because you're going, oh my God, we're going to lose to Scotland at home, you know, and that's you're basically thinking that all the way through. But against Italy, you go, no, we're playing pretty good. We're playing exactly as we should play against Italy, and we're scoring points. And all right, we've leaked a couple, but we played well. So it was quite a relaxing game to watch.
And just, sorry, little sympathy mention for Jack Willis and his knee injury.
Oh, yeah, man.
Which looked horrible.
The crocodile roll. I didn't really know about this. I thought that they were outlawed. I thought you weren't allowed to do it. But it's not. It's just the neck roll that's been, that they've outlawed. I didn't know that you could still twist people out of rucks like that.
I know.
It's horrible, wasn't it?
Wait, but he's not, I mean, did you hear the scream? Did you hear?
Yeah,
you could hear
I saw it.
It.
I saw. You know,
oh, I didn't watch the in-depth role.
No. But I saw it actually in game time. So when he was being twisted over, you could see the grimace and the scream on his face. And you know when you're watching a game and you see something and it's unusual, and it just catches you. And I was watching that. I go, oh no, that's not right.
Well,
and
you know, if
he didn't get up from it.
If a player screams, you know it's really serious. That's why I'd be scared to play rugby, because I know that I would scream, that looks really serious, Crutton's gone, and then I'd get up and play on. Oh, no.
No, just another little knock for
Crutton, broken nail. But, yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Because they're proper men.
You'd scream out of the anticipation of getting there.
I'd scream.
On a ghost train.
I'd scream because Kyle Sinclair's running at me. I would, I'd scream. Can you imagine? I mean, I think that would be really effective. I think that could really put a player off. They'd almost think, it's almost like a whistle going. They think, what? Something happened.
Screaming in their face.
Oh, that's a really good tactic. Again, I'm a very underused player. But just to go back to the serious, I mean, obviously I did have serious knee injuries myself. And,
Yes.
I don't know how he will be probably out a long time. Jack Willis. It'd be nice to get him on for me
to
talk to about how
he hasn't done his ACL,
something quite bad, and he probably needs to talk to someone whose knees are worse than his. And that
the man. Anyway, let's move on to Wales,
Scotland, Wales,
Scotland,
yes.
Wales. What did you make of this?
I'm really pissed off with Scotland, basically.
Actually.
Scottish fans
need to
get angrier.
And do you know what? If they hadn't have gone down to 14 men, which they did, still not sure they would have won it.
But they should have done. So they were 17-3 up at one point. There was also a point, 48th minute. If you remember this moment, so Scott Cummings, he either went over or he did the blocking move, and it was something like Johnny Gray or something. Little run at the try line. Mm-hmm. And there was this pressure where they should have scored from that moment in the 48th minute. They would have been 24-8 up. They were 17-3 up at one point at home, looking good. This is a Welsh team. Admittedly, the Scots had some injuries. They didn't have Cameron Redpath or Jamie Ritchie or Maitland. But the Welsh were missing five players. But Wales, I think Wales have more depth than Scotland, actually. But they just sort of let them back in. And
this is my theory on this, you're right about the 17-3 lead at home, Murrayfield against Wales, that's a very, very unfamiliar place for Scotland to be in. Like that far up at home, thinking, well, we beat England at Twickenham last week, we're at home, we're 17-3 out, this is exactly, you know, it's that sort of mindset that England were in when they were smashing Scotland a couple of years ago at Twickenham, and Scotland came back and did to them basically what Wales did to Scotland at the weekend. You know, just like take the foot off the gas. I don't know. I mean, Scotland.
But I just think I also think they don't have, you know, I always moan about rugby fans being too angry, and maybe I haven't looked enough on Twitter or I haven't looked stuff, but Scottish fans seem to be the least angry at their team. And I think Scotland have underperformed so much. They've had moments of brilliance, moments of... They never seem to have consistency.
I don't know. I just think this week they just... You know, they were playing well. They were playing very well. And then they just allowed Wales... I mean, mind you, also, Rhys Zammit, he scored a couple of wonder tries. I mean, that one where he belted down the wing and chipped it over and gathered his own kick, that was... That was a brilliant try.
Do you shout out loud, by the way? As I get older, I do that more, even sitting by myself. I still go, wow, yes. Yes!
Yeah,
you know,
I do.
And applaud by myself. Yeah. In my...
I watch the game standing up in the living room and just sort of pacing in front of the TV, especially if it's England and it's a tight game. I can't sit down. I'm just like, hands over the face.
Wales never let their head drop. They go that far down, away from home. They never let their heads go down. They always. Now, I want to be rude about Wales, just to wind up our producer John. But I think they could even go and fluke a Grand Slam like in 2019, where you go, how did they do that? And they just seem to get the results.
That's the thing,
with
isn't
teams
it?
That aren't that special.
But this is, and Wales are now at that place where you go, well, we don't really know how good Wales are, you know, because they have basically ground out two wins. What they ground out that win against Ireland, who came very close to beating France this weekend. Yeah. Let's be honest. And they had a big old comeback and beat. That's going to do wonders for their confidence. And I think that's what Wales were short of, because it's not like their personnel has changed massively since Warren Gatland was coaching them. I think their confidence probably took a little bit of a dip. And like, you know, winning these close games like this is going to do wonders for their confidence.
But also,
see how they get on against England.
I know Lewis Rees-Sammet was, for a winger, he won the game for his team. He won the game for his...
Yeah. You know, with that, he's try, really special. And he's so fast.
He set up Liam Williams' score. If you remember, he did a lovely... Yes. Changed his line of running, lovely pass, scored a good... He scored two tries, made one try. I just think I think he is... I don't want to be controversial here. He's going to be the David Beckham of rugby. He was 20 2 weeks ago. I think it's going to be Sarong.
He's a lion, isn't he? He's a lion.
He's definitely a lion for me now. I think I suggest him as a lion and you probably
pooh-poohed it. And painted nails.
So I know I'm going back to the 90s. And painted nails and a beautiful partner. I don't assume he's straight or gay or whatever, but he's going to have a showbiz partner. He's a good-looking boy. He talks well about the game and stuff when he was interviewed afterwards. I just...
The thing about...
Lewis
Rees-Sammet
is going to be the biggest name in rugby in about 2 or 3 years. Is my ridiculous...
The thing about that, yeah. The Beckham business, is I think you have to want to become David Beckham. You know, like David Beckham had to want to become that, like, iconic figure. I remember Victoria Beckham. There were stories of her going to Simon Fuller and saying, we want to be as big as Daz, you know, that brand. You know, I mean, we want everybody to know who we are. And I think you have to want to go and do that. I'm not sure a little Welsh rugby player playing for Gloucester is going to be going, no, I want it all, man. Cipriani went after all that stuff. And it doesn't play well with rugby. I don't know.
I think no, but Cipriani also was inconsistent. I think Rees-Sammet doesn't seem to have bad games.
He's 20 years old, but I also don't know
that thing about you have to want it to go after that. I wanted it, Dan. I didn't get that.
but you have to want it. And you have to be offered it. There's two things that have to happen.
If you're offered it, who would turn it down? I would say...
I think people would. Johnny Wilkinson turned it down.
No, did he? Still did.
Yes. He was offered all sorts of stuff. And,
but also, when he was, it doesn't suit his personality. Get this, though.
When he was injured playing for Newcastle, right? You know he was injured for so long playing for Newcastle. He offered to give back his wage at Newcastle. He has to give his money back because he felt so guilty about like play. It's just different, isn't it?
I love that mindset. I'd love to have that mindset. There's a very famous comedian who I don't want to embarrass. I should spread a nice story. This is a comedian who's... I can say his name. This is Ross Noble. I was doing a gig with Ross Noble before he was super-duper famous. He was still doing really well. He was on TV a bit. And I did a gig with him. And we were, and he was doing well, and he was. I was driving back with him, and he said, "Do you know what? We were talking about money and fame and all the things." He went, "Do you know what? Even right now, I've got enough money." And I said, "Hardly anybody says that. I don't. I know. Yeah. I mean, I've never been, you know, Ross Noble's level or whatever, but I was, you know, doing well and stuff. But I've always thought if I was Elton John, I'm the sort of person. I say this as a as someone who's a bit of a socialist and a lefty, I could never have enough money. I would never get... if I was Elton John, I'd be friends with someone who owned more islands than me or stuff, and I'd still go, why don't I have three islands? I think it's a wonderful thing when more people in our society go, I've got enough money, because I know I'd always go, oh,
I'm enriched enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And my soul is enriched enough. That's
exactly. I'm of that personality. I even with you, Dan, I go, I want to live in Muswell Hill, and it winds me up every week knowing that you live there.
The internet's awful here. Don't bother.
But anyway,
Lewis
Rees-Sammet. I mean, I am going over the top about him, but I think even if he doesn't become the next David Beckham, he is Shane Williams, JJ Williams, Gerald Davis. He is the line of great Welsh wingers, because I think if he just keeps his head on,
I agree
he's
with
going
that.
To.
But I think he's got the skill. But you know that the great international players, the great sports people, do it week in, week out. And I think that you can't. You've got to just wait and see. You know, you've got to wait and see.
Shall we have a quick guess on which English player is going to get sent off against Wales? Because they don't finish games against 15 players.
I think if anyone's going to get sent off, it'd be Owen Farrell.
Well,
I think he's right on the edge.
I put this on Twitter at the end of the game going, so guess which England player? And all these Saris fans went, Hal, shut up. They're all going to say Farrell. I think Farrell is not going to get the player sent off. Maybe someone like Genge, I reckon. I reckon Genge will get sent off.
He only gets 20 minutes in the usual.
Yeah. He'll get sent off.
I think Carl Sinclair used to be ripe for it, didn't he? He used to be absolutely... Yeah. Like everyone targeted Carl Sinclair because he was a real hothead, smacking him on the head and all sorts of things.
Exactly.
It's always good fun to watch.
Yeah, you need to. And if you are England players, do the Lewis Moody thing that he said, that he used to psychologically look at the ref to go. It's in his book that when because he used to lose his head and get hot headed, he went to see somebody over his psychology as a player. If you're being wound up, before you make a silly decision, look at the ref and remind yourself what's going to happen when.
Yes.
When you punch that, or when you lose your cool, or when you get into anything. I do think this sending off was really dodgy because the player was come. Did you see it, Xander Fagerson?
Yeah, I did. I it was interesting what Warburton was saying because he said he's got to clear him out and there's no other way of doing it. And if he had, it's interesting because you go. That's an interesting angle because he says if you go Monday morning, you're watching the tape and you're analysing and you haven't cleared him out, your coaches are going to go, why did you not clear him out? And I think the excuse of being, well, if I'd have hit him there, I may have hit him with my head and I could have got sent off. I just don't think that would wash.
But actually, the next day on the rugby roundup thing that the BBC do, Sam Warburton said, 24 hours later, I think I was wrong. I think you've got to be careful. They know the situation. They know it's a slightly unfair law, but they're trying to protect people's heads. You have to go in and rapping with your arms always. Never leave your shoulder.
I agree, but I also think that Sam Warburton is aware that he's on the BBC and I think he has to...
Yeah.
You know, that's the difference between a professional rugby player's mindset and somebody... You know, commentating on the BBC.
Can I just say, though, there was a comment on Guardian website that I should have printed it out like an idiot and kept it. Someone went, well, obviously Welsh players are being trained to leave their heads up to get hit so people get sent off. Can I say, I know you're probably not listening, you are a dick, whoever said that. You are, the level of idiocy.
Theory.
Both the sendings off, there is no way that a Welsh player went, I'll just leave my head upright. There are so many idiots. I mean, I know we're idiots again talking rugby, but it just go on any national newspaper, a report of a game, and if they've got comments underneath, there are these idiots walking. I mean, God, I replied to one on
imagine
the Guardian site.
Imagine thinking like that as a player. Imagine going, right, I'm not going to commit myself completely. I'm just going to leave my head up, see if someone's going to smash
sure
my
head
face
is up
in.
So you can get,
And then hopefully they get sent off.
Exactly. But it was the same thing. Someone else was going, I think we've proved Elliot Daly is not a test fullback. Somebody else is not. And I just wrote back going, but he got to, isn't that an amazing thing to not be able to play fullback but end up playing it in a World Cup final for your country?
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that
and
amazing?
For the Lions.
I mean, it's just these idiots at home. But we are, I must admit, among those idiots. I'm just reminding us of the level absolutely. Of idiocy you
Some
can
of
reach.
Some of the stupid things I've said, you know, I put myself firmly in the idiot category.
You know, I'm someone who deliberately changes their mind to be controversial, it seems. I mean, I'm not doing it deliberately, but, you know, as I'm now heading back into my love of Eddie Jones, now everybody else hates him. I just like to be different. We were talking last week about whether there could be a midpoint between red and yellow cards, card for these players who we know aren't bad guys and make a mistake and can we stop being horrible to them? But did you see the tweet we got from Jez, who does the Fezcast? Brilliant. Yeah. Hey, guys, I think you're onto something with the amber card. How about, instead of 20 minutes, the amber card means you have to sub the player off the field. If it happens early in the game, you lose ability to cope at the end of the game, but without spoiling it as a spectacle, a la Peter Omani. Or if it happens with 15 minutes to go and you have no subs left, it's no different than getting a yellow with 8 to go. So player would still be subject to a disciplinary and potential ban after the game. Sorted.
This is more about, the red card is supposed to be... It's supposed to be a deterrent. It's an absolute deterrent. If you make any contact with the head, what have you, you know, it just, it's a real red line. You've crossed the red line and you have to leave the pitch. Now, if you start like saying amber card, banning next week and all the rest of it, even then you've got time to prepare, bring another player in. And that player gets dropped. You know, there has to be absolute direct consequences there and then. For contact with the head, because they're so scared of the game becoming incredibly dangerous. Quite rightly, the size of these people and the speed that they're running into each other, you know, there has to be instant disciplinary measures. They can't be wishy washy. I don't think, unfortunately. And if it means that a game is sacrificed, then I think they're willing to do that. You know.
Exactly. I do. When you put it like that and you go, this is what they're trying to change. And it's just, you know, so we have a season where Wales are fluking some victories because of red cards. Then I think the Ireland game was massive in the effect it had.
Maybe
the Wales Scotland game had less of an effect because it was like 54.
It's a decent case.
On 54
I mean,
there's
a case to be made for that. You know, you'd be interesting to see. I mean, who have they got next? Have they got England next?
England next, yes.
Wales.
Yeah.
So England, Wales, let's hope nobody gets sent off and see how competitive they are with 15 men on the field.
I do think, as usual, I mean, we're not really doing predictions because we can do predictions next week. I do think England will lose that game. I do predict a Welsh
victory. Are we away?
We're away, but with no crowds. But I think England are just going to have a dodgy season. I think Wales are going to be confident. I think the best chance England have is just shut up in the media, don't say anything, let Wales do all the talking. Wales won't go in feeling like underdogs. They'll go in, and England can play that underdogs well. We've got some problems, and just take all the pressure off, and that's their best chance. But I just think Wales will be really up for it. I think that's going to be a really good game, actually.
Yeah, it'll be a good game. It will be a good game.
I think as long as we don't.
More evenly matched than we may have anticipated at the beginning of the season. Anyway,
we're going on far too long. We haven't done Ireland.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
France yet. We're doing a lot of analysis on games.
I'm in France. What did you make of this one?
I can't remember what my predictions were last week about this. I did make predictions about all these games. I said Scotland will beat Wales. I
think. France,
by the way, can
Ireland.
I just point out for the England Italy games? I predicted 20-point win. It was 23-point win. So just to say, I'm nearly there. Scotland Wales, I predicted Scotland by 10. So yeah, Italy. But Ireland France, I think I predicted France by 10 or something.
It was much closer.
Yes, it was much closer than it should have been. And Ireland, they a foot out of James Lowe going in the corner. That score would have put them 10-3 up. And in a game that was quite low scoring, you know, that foot made all the difference. France are the best, best attacking team in the world. Lovely offloads, but they didn't get many chances. And if you know, Ireland were matching them
stifle
up front.
Them. Yeah, really that's the key, isn't it? That's the key.
For me, as an England fan, I was going, this is the blueprint of how we play them. Ireland are showing us how to beat France. Because, we beat...
But that was the worrying thing, though. That's why I was worried. When we were playing Scotland, we couldn't get the ball off of Scotland. You know, the forwards... I think we had some selection issues, actually, against Scotland. I mean, Courtney Laws made a huge difference, and the front row made a massive difference. Yeah, and I think, what did he put? Courtney Laws in the second row, and then who was in the back row? Because he swapped out Mark Wilson, I think.
Yeah, no, Mark that's Wilson. Right.
So Courtney Laws, he made a big difference in the back row. He's a brilliant line-out option.
We're so Anglo-centric that we talk about other matches and we keep going back to England. England exactly. changed the whole front. I think the front row makes a massive difference. I just think I don't think the French front row are good, but they're not the stars. I don't think the second row is pretty good. You know, the back row, they've got some real back row stars. But France are the real special thing that makes France special is their backs. And if you can beat them up front and stop the ball, you know, stop Dupont getting good ball and all the rest. Yeah. And
But they're good off scraps. France are good off scraps. They can throw... They throw sort of wonder passes, don't they? And, they're running circles around the backs. You know, if they get any ball at all, they're dangerous. They really are.
And they are very, as we always mention with Sean Edwards, they are very, very good in defence. You look at the end of that game and Ireland were trying to move into a position to maybe get a penalty or a drop goal.
And
the French didn't let them anywhere near it. And they say that is... And also even that tackle to stop James Lowe, is it that Sean Edwards thing? The desire to stop, and it's the desire... And it's... which again still proves my point that it's just about scaring players. You need to threaten these people and know that there's no hiding place if they don't show full commitment. Express yourself, and we don't mind. We don't mind a trier who fails. Yeah. We don't mind if you miss a try or you miss a kick at goal. So just take all the pressure.
If you miss a tackle,
then that's it.
I think that is basically what Sean Edwards is like. He does it all with a northern accent, and he sounds like a nightclub owner, doesn't he?
It's that thing. Oh, he's made in Wigan, but so was Andy Farrell. Andy Farrell doesn't seem to scare the Irish team in the same way.
Well, they say Andy Farrell is like that. You spend half an hour in a room with Andy Farrell, it's like being in the presence of something really, really special, which is why he was given the Lions job over Sean Edwards and the Scotland job. He got apparently some magical aura that they all just sort of buy into. And if you ever watch those Lions documentaries, you watch Andy Farrell doing his speeches, talking about emotional energy. It's about your emotional energy, right?
Yeah.
And you watch Owen Farrell, who has learned from his father, when he does the huddle chat, and he just looks dead ahead. Hardly any expression. He's like, that's good work, boys. That's good work. Happy? It's all really little movements.
Yeah.
As an actor, I sort of watch this stuff and I think, that's how you inspire men.
Just another quick point. France, again, they were 15-3 up after 54 minutes against Ireland. And I thought this with Scotland-Wales. I thought in both games that France would run away with it, would destroy them. Ireland did get a bit of a lucky score, but I just think, France game management, they're not, it was a nice reminder, the Ireland-France game, that France aren't these superhero, brilliant geniuses who just are going to run rugby for the next few years until they win the World Cup.
You can't win a Six Nations either. I think, there's always games where you don't play that you don't play that well, but you win. And that's the that's the difference, isn't it? You know, that's the championship mindset. No?
But do you not have that? I mean, I know you have a ridiculous belief England will win the next World Cup, but I tend to think France are just going to run away and it's a home World Cup and they're going to win it.
I don't have a ridiculous. I mean, I'm realistic. I'm realistic. France are a great side and it's in France. And the reason why they're building this great side is because they want to be competitive at the World Cup in France, you know. So they brought in some really, really key coaches. So, you know, they're giving themselves a really, really good chance. And the only thing I would say with France is, you know, don't peak too early because they are really, they're looking really good, but we're, what, 2 or 3 years out, aren't we?
Yeah, that's true. I was actually thinking that.
Ireland did. Ireland just peaked in between World Cups.
Exactly. And I was thinking this about... getting too carried away about a team. You remember 2012 in the autumn, England beat New Zealand in a game where they really ran New Zealand over and Tua Lange was amazing and all the rest. And that was, and people were starting to go, oh, home World Cup, 2.5 years time, England, home World Cup, 3 years. And you go, never start, you know, and then we go out in the group stages. So let's hope that France go out in the group stages of their World Cup. They've got a tough group.
There'll be a lot of pressure on France, psychological pressure.
Have they got a tough group? You know? Aren't France in with New Zealand and Italy? So they're going to gum second, aren't they?
You never know. They historically, in World Cups against New Zealand, France are very good.
Oh, I know. Anyway,
but they're a good side, and they did well against. Ireland played well. I think Ireland are playing pretty well. They're getting better, but they just, you know.
Ireland had loads of injuries.
Gibson Park
Ireland
looked good.
Yeah, but also they did have the experience out. They didn't have Sexton, who isn't. We've talked all about France, haven't we? They didn't. They had Billy Burns starting, which was good because he'd made that terrible error last week and he played okay.
Yeah.
But Ross Burns seems to me a better player. I was texting during the game with last week's guest, Cueve McDonald. Cueve McDonald's hilarious, going, you know the funny thing about Billy Burns and Ross Burns is both of them aren't as good as their brothers. And Billy Burns, Freddie Burns, is, you know, the he's now in Japan, isn't he? Played for Bath.
Ex-England.
Was he Bath and Leicester, wasn't he?
He was and Bath, yeah.
Apparently
do you remember in that European Cup match?
Where he dropped it over the... Yes,
he was celebrating under the post. And
I know.
Dropped,
oh, God.
And he smacked it out of his hand.
But apparently Ross Burn has this this brother at Leinster who's better than him, who's coming up through the team.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. But you do think that was an Ireland team without their best halfbacks, really, or their most secure halfbacks at the moment. They'd had lost a good few.
Gibson Park looks good, though. He looks good.
Yeah, he did play quite well. But again, I don't know if he's that. Is he that good at the big up and under kicks? I don't
box
know.
Kicks.
The box kicks. That's the word. I always have mental blocks on rugby terms.
When you speak fast, the Gary Owen. I don't think they call them the Gary Owen.
No,
anymore,
they never
do
anymore. They never do. I don't know if it was my TV, but in that Ireland France game, all the box kicks looked higher than in other.
Think it was probably your TV, Hal.
They just looked higher than other games.
The angle.
Particularly, I must admit, that guy James Lowe has got a hell of a boot on him.
The Ireland Irish they ring. Play at altitude, don't they?
Yeah. Yes, of course. But no, there's some lovely. I do think James Lowe and Jameson Gibson Park. They did a little move towards the end that was really. I thought that's not very Irish. That's quite New Zealanderish.
Yeah.
Now remember they are
French.
Of course not Irish players.
Yeah, exactly.
They've qualified.
Is he South African?
He's New Zealander, isn't he? James Lowe. Sorry, he's not. He's an Irishman, born and bred.
Yes, born and bred. But
I'm
did he
now
qualify
looking
through
him up.
Residency?
Yes, qualified to residency. He's New Zealand, and so is Jameson Gibson Park, isn't he?
Yes, yes.
He's a New Zealander, I think. Can you hear me tapping as I go?
Billy Burns. Yeah. Billy Burns is English. Yeah,
Billy
know,
Burns is English. this is wrong to say this.
No,
Josh,
I agree.
Josh
We've all got
Van
a bit
der Vlier
of that.
Is South African. CJ Stander is South African.
They've
also. Yeah,
a UN team.
I do think Gary Ringrose is good. He did some good stuff. Hugo Keenan looks good. He's new, fullback. He's very good. Keith Earls, who we just love anyway.
He goes on forever, Keith Earls. I remember him on the 2009 Lions tour to South Africa. He was a young boy.
And Tag Furlong came off the bench, so he's coming back in. I just think, can I revise all my opinion about Irish rugby going down the toilet? And actually, they're fine. Yeah. They're just going to continue being a top side.
They're in transition, aren't they? That's all. Yeah. Irish rugby. You know, they've got a lot of those older players that have been around for ages. Your Sextons, O'Mahonies, and all the rest of it, and who are all becoming out of contract. And you know, they need to rebuild.
Yeah.
Whether Andy Farrell's the man to do that, I don't know. But who knows?
Anyway, quick roundup of Premiership games. I saw, because it was my wedding anniversary this weekend, I saw no Guinness Rugby. I'm very sorry. I haven't even seen the Saris game.
I saw Bristol Gloucester.
Oh, did you? Oh, God, you see, you've done your stuff.
Yes.
And you've got small children. You managed to watch four games. Why are Bristol getting a bit dodgy then if they go and only win by... I know that's me being a bit harsh.
They won by 1 point. Gloucester played very well. And so they largely got their team intact. And, yeah, they played well. And Bristol still played well, but just not to their usual dazzling standards.
Randrander is injured, isn't he?
He's injured. Right. But O'Connor looked good. And their Bristol's worst. What's his name?
Oh, Ewan Lloyd, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a great player. I think they're gonna win.
Other weird results though. Bath beat Sale. So Sale, who have beaten Bristol, who were top, and Bath, who were losing to everyone and being rubbish, have suddenly lost at home to Bath. It is a really topsy turvy.
I will
was there
say
a weird
this
sending
as well.
Off there that shouldn't have been?
No, I will say this about the Gloucester game. So 2 hours, I think, before kickoff, it was decided that there would be no relegation this year. So Gloucester were probably playing with some sort of like, wow, wicked, no pressure. That's true. Let's chuck the kitchen sink at them. I think that makes a big difference.
Okay. Yeah, good point.
Thank you.
I'm just saying, even though I've not watched any of these games, Bath beat Sale, amazing. Exeter, obviously, back to form. They've beaten London Irish 26-3. Harlequins are going on a good run, which is always horrible to see. They're beating Leicester. They beat Leicester 37-24. And Wasps have won again. You see, my little teams and my pet sort of quite fond of them are Wasps and Bristol, just because I like the way they're playing. And they're back. Yeah. They've beaten Worcester Warriors at home, which is... Worcester Warriors aren't terrible. They're quite a decent team at the moment, I think, even though they're, you know, they're not... I think no one's rubbish, actually, in the Premiership, obviously.
I think it'd be interesting to see what effect no relegation has on the way teams play and whether they experiment with bringing younger players in or, you know, because there's no consequences.
Can I very quickly mention, while we're about to go into this conversation, that Saracens are back. They've beaten Doncaster Knights 29-10. And next week they're playing a friendly against Coventry, and I'm doing the intro on Saracens TV or something. It's just their online coverage. Anyway. Should we talk about relegate ring fencing Premiership?
Let's do this quickly because it's not. There's not much to say about it, really, is there? I think it's a good thing. I know TV companies don't like it, but I think relegation in the Premiership is pointless anyway because you go down. It has a massive effect on the club that goes down. Financial planning becomes impossible. You know, you've built all this collateral in the Premiership and then suddenly, bang, you go down for no other reason other than it serves some sort of narrative for the league and you know you're just going to bounce straight back up again. So to me, it just seems pointless. There's very few sides in the Championship that can actually come up to the Premier League and survive. You know, London Welsh is a classic case of it not working and virtually destroying the club. And I just think... just ring fence it, and then if clubs from the Championship become eligible to play in the Premiership and they become good enough, they've got the infrastructure, then allow them to come up and join.
Well, so gradually, if everybody does, we're going to have a 50-team.
Yeah, but they won't. They won't, though, will they? Because there's no money to be made in Premier League rugby. It's just an absolute cash loss for everybody that owns a rugby team.
Exactly. But you do it for love. I mean,
as so you don't want these teams that have invested millions into their club being chucked down into the Championship.
No, I'm just saying though that they need, but people are still going to put the money in, like the guy who's the Ealing Trailfinders guy, I can't remember his name. That he's doing it for love, and he does deserve to be rewarded because he's created a team there that's strong enough to be in the Premiership. I do understand ring fencing this season. It should totally have happened because COVID's making everything unfair. But I don't know why they're going to do it forever or do it for 4 years.
I think it's a very good experiment to see what the implications are, how it changes the league, how it changes the games that are played in the league. It could be really good for growth of players. Like, you could bring younger kids through. They can get a chance if there's no relegation. You know, you can take more risks. I think it's a good thing.
I think I'm slipping into, I do have this crisis that I'm slipping into a Six Nations doesn't really matter. It's World Cups that matter mindset, which I never thought I would, because I am the person I'm the older one of us two, who, you know, was watching Five Nations when I was 5 years old and going to England matches then. And to me, the Five Nations and the Six Nations was always the most important thing. And it has swapped around now to everything is World about Cups. Building for a World Cup and doing well in the World Cup.
I love watching the Six Nations. I love it. I just like the time of year where it goes from winter into spring. And I just, when the crowds are in, I think it's just, you know, it's hard because there's no atmosphere at the games. It's just like, there's no one in the stadiums and there's no noise. And it just, it's all a bit of a damp squib. You're just literally watching a game of rugby. And the stakes just don't seem as high. I don't think.
See, I just think it doesn't make much difference. If you're sitting and watching on the TV and you've got the piped-in crowd, it doesn't bother me that much that there isn't a crowd. I don't know what... Obviously, I'd like to be there. I'd like to have gone to a couple of games or whatever. But I
still have the same sense of drama about the game and stuff. But I love, like, looking around at the crowd and going, oh, man, I wish I was there. I wish I was, like, at that game. And also, when England are playing well, or whoever's playing well, and the crowd are getting behind them and the noise, it's just a great, rousing feeling, you know? And it makes a difference to the team, and it's just better for the competition. And these are just hard days we have to get through, I think.
So next week, we have a week off the Six Nations. So we're going back to Premiership rugby. I'm going to be doing lots of watching of this. Bath and Gloucester.
Me too.
Bath and Gloucester. That's interesting. I don't know what's going to happen with any of these games because they're all topsy-turvy. Harlequins versus Sale. Come on, Sale. Do a job on them. Exeter, Northampton, Leicester, Wasps, Worcester, Newcastle, London Irish, Bristol. Oh, I hope Bristol return to a bit more form and thrash London Irish.
I think they probably will.
Most important game, Saracens are playing Coventry. And
Coventry, the big one.
As I've said before, pre-match, it's just pre-match talking rubbish about that game. It's just a friendly, but Saris will be returning to form. So that will be fun. Over to you, Dan, to wrap up.
No, cool.
That was so badly done.
So if anybody wants to get in touch with us, and bearing in mind we do read out the tweets on this show and we do read out the emails, so it's really, really worth your while doing this, get in touch with us at rugbyjubbly@dltentertainment.com or Twitter @JubblyRugby or Instagram @RugbyJubblyPodcast. So there's three ways. Get in touch. And let's talk rugby. How's that?
You're such a DJ. I love it.
I enjoy that bit. Yeah, exactly. Okay, thanks very much. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.